Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki and Liz. So, Liz, what are we talking about today? What's on the menu?
One of my favourite subjects, actually, Nikki, it's public relations.
Oh, I noticed. So let's just start, please, by clarifying exactly what public relations is and how it sits alongside marketing.
Yeah, interesting you should say that, actually, because when I was studying for my PR qualification all those years ago, the tutor said that PR people say marketing is part of PR and marketing people say it's part of marketing.
That's true. So what, which is it then?
Okay, well, this is a bit lengthy, but this is how the Chartered Institute of Public Relations explain it, and then we'll talk about we put it into practice. Yeah. Public relations is the discipline which looks after reputation with the aim of earning understanding and support and influencing opinion and behaviour. It is the planned and sustained effort to establish and maintain goodwill and mutual understanding between an organisation and its publics.
Cool. So I'd say that influences not only what we do in marketing, but it also underpins what we do in business too.
Yeah, absolutely right. It should provide the backdrop to all our advertising and marketing and is key to developing word of mouth recommendations and contacts. It's also cheaper and more effective than advertising or marketing.
So how is PR different to marketing then?
Probably the easiest way to describe it is that your audiences are different. With marketing, you're pretty much targeting a specific market to promote your product or service. With PR, the messages are a bit more subtle and are aimed at audiences, which are also called publics, that are important to the organisation. So they would include customers, your existing and potential customers, employees and management, investors, the media, government, suppliers and opinion formers. PR is as much about internal communications as it is about the external.
I get it, but isn't it also about the image and what your business is actually standing for?
Yeah, and that's another crucial point to clarify for listeners, actually. Your image is what your business actually is. Okay. You can't project an image that isn't real.
Okay, yeah.
It has to be based in fact. You can't just make it up.
Okay, so what tools are traditionally used then in PR?
Very similar to marketing, actually. There are so many ways to communicate with your audiences. For instance, you've got local, regional, trade and professional press. I think that's probably the first thing that people think about when they think about PR. Yeah. Videos, posters and literature, personal contact, direct mail, blogs, events, newsletters and advertising.
Okay, and not forgetting your website, of course.
Absolutely.
Because that's obviously the first impression that most of, you know, audiences now get on you. So it's important to get the message right. But then PR isn't just about press releases, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. Obviously, press releases are what most people think of when you mention PR. Here's an interesting exercise that I use with my students on a recent PR course. Have a look at your local newspaper and see if you can spot which are the news stories written by journalists and which are the PR stories submitted by businesses and organisations like charities. They give you a really good flavour of the type of stories your local media are looking for.
I'm sure that's something our listeners could be really interested in doing. So how do they get local media interested in their story? You know,
First thing to consider is whether the story is actually newsworthy.
Well, how do you mean?
Is it a story that's going to interest the general public? Good rule of thumb here is would it interest the writer if they read it about someone else? Mm-hmm. What's the angle? Is there any significance to a celebration or event? Is it a human interest story? People love those.
Okay.
Yeah, look for something that will really make it stand out.
Okay, so if a business is celebrating an anniversary or, say, a significant achievement, or if one of their staff has an interesting backstory, these could make it good, tasty content.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People love reading about people, just like we were talking about in podcast 3 about storytelling. And editors will be looking out for something that's different.
So if I'm looking to get a press release out, then could you give me some basic rules to follow?
Yeah, you could use something called the 5 W's. Mm-hmm. That's who, what, when, where and why. It's an old PR term, but it's very easy to follow. If you make sure you get this information in at the start of your press release, so in the first paragraph, really, if the story gets cut, right. as it quite often does. It gets cut from the bottom up.
Oh, that's a good point. Right,
so okay. readers can still get the essence of your story right. because you've got all that information in the first paragraph.
Okay. And listeners, it's important to say that we're actually going to be putting a press release template on our website for you to download. So that will help make things a little clearer. Is that right, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely. And this seems a good time to remind listeners, as we always do, that if you're enjoying this Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure you share and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn or Blueberry when this edition's finished. As we're still a relatively new channel, we'd love more people to listen in. And we'd also love to hear your feedback, listeners. So let us know what you think about our podcast by emailing us on hello@themarketingmenu.com.
Excellent. Okay, so just before we finish about talking about press releases, are there any other tips do you think you should mention?
It might be helpful to know that you can send press releases in the body of an email rather than as an attachment.
Right, yeah, in fact, they prefer that.
Yeah, that's right. And also, with attachments, sometimes it can go into a spam box.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, and I would always send a high-resolution photo wherever possible to illustrate your story.
And what about putting quotes in?
Yeah, they're always great to include if you can. It makes it far more personal. You can actually tell more of your story through the quote. Press releases are generally written in the third person, but obviously the quote should be written in the first person. And don't forget to include the name and job title of the person making the quote.
Is there anything else?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Boilerplates.
Oh, yes. Then again.
Yeah. We talked about this in our branding podcast a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
You add them to the very bottom of the press release after the main body of text. They're not part of the main press release, but they give an opportunity to give the editor some background information on your business. Again, if listeners download the free template, it'll be explained on there.
Okay, great stuff. So if any of our listeners have got an interesting story, like staff achievements, announcing new team members or their 1,000th customer, perhaps joint venture or promotion with other business, new premises, new services, or even if they're supporting a local charity, all these are ideas that they might want to put out into the local media.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously there'll be the stories that may be of interest nationally.
Oh, now I recommend any businesses puts together a database of all the media contacts that could potentially be of use to them. So that would include the local newspapers, radio stations, but also sort of trade magazines and journals as well. And it's important to keep that really up to date. Yeah, it's like your little black book, really.
Yeah, great advice, Nikki. I'd suggest using these headings for the details that you need for your media list. The name of the publication, obviously, their website, name of the editorial contact, email address, phone address, and circulation details.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, and also things about the deadline details, so that you know when you've got to submit articles by. I know we're going back here to podcast one when we talked about the planning, because if you've got an event that you might want to promote or something, you may find you have to submit those articles, you know, earlier than you anticipated in order not to miss out. So build this into your plan so you know what you're doing on a month by month basis.
Yeah, very true. A lot of magazines need a press release up to 3 months before.
Wow, that's
true. In fact, I was trying to submit a story for a client about gardening. And the particular magazine I was pitching to was a 6-month lead-in.
That is nuts.
It's worth saying here that if listeners are thinking of approaching TV with a story, they will often take a pitch at very short notice, but it will be dependent on what else is happening in the world at the time.
Yeah, I found that a lot. They're not interested weeks ahead, no. Definitely. That's a good point. So listeners, do check out the magazine you're pitching to. Accepts, obviously, unsolicited stories. Most of them will have a media pack on their websites for you to download. And Liz, do you recommend actually ringing journalists at first?
Well, it's not guaranteed the story will be published, but it can save a lot of time and unnecessary waiting if they can then say they're not interested. But I would say it's definitely worth getting the name of your local reporter and introducing yourself and ask them how they like to receive stories. And they may just say, oh, well, give me a ring first or just email.
Okay. Now, when I think of PR, I don't know about you, but sometimes I often think about it. It's when something goes wrong or perhaps when a celebrity gets into trouble, you know, crisis PR, I suppose it is. Is it really necessary for businesses to think about what they would do in an emergency?
Absolutely, yes. Funny you should mention celebrities, though. When I was teaching, we were following the story of David Beckham and the furore around what he said about getting a knighthood.
Right. Okay. I vaguely remember that, to be honest. I'm not sure. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more. That was He was being pretty un-Beckham-like, is that right?
Can we do that again? Yes, sorry. You said that you didn't know it, but then you're talking like you do know it.
Sorry.
So just end at knighthood.
Yeah, just start it again.
Okay. I vaguely remember that. It was most un-Beckham-like, and he was kicking off, if you pardon the pun, about not being recommended for an honour, is that right? I think his halo slipped a bit.
Yeah, indeed it did. And it was fascinating to see how the well-oiled Beckham PR machine swung into action. They pay a lot of money to be rescued from situations like these, you know. So after the initial negative stories, which were pretty damning, to be honest, there were then a raft of stories with pictures about Beckham, the family man, showing him cooking tea for his kids and going into detail about how he's effectively a house husband.
Oh, poor love. Okay. Well, very clever. I suppose it worked. And I guess, you know, it's mainly forgotten now. Although I suppose because of the nature of the media, it could always get dragged up again. Mm. But the important thing is for the Beckhams, they're restored in the eyes of the great British public.
Yeah, that's PR. The image.
I get you.
But remember what we said at the beginning. You can't create it. It has to be real.
Okay. So back to business then. Some examples of where you may need to think about kicking in with some crisis PR. I mean, it could be all sorts of things, really. It might be financial loss, staff dismissal, redundancies, a team member in the media, perhaps an injury or fatality on your premises. That's a big stream. Or even the closure of a business.
So what key points do you think listeners should think about when preparing a statement for incidents like these then?
Well, I think honesty is absolutely key, so don't try and cover it up. Remember you're speaking on behalf of your organisation though, and not basing things on your personal feelings, so you don't want to come across as too emotional.
Yeah, good point.
Be the first person to announce your bad news, because if you don't, then people think you've unfortunately got something to hide. And then don't run the risk of an employee running to the media to tell them an impending crisis. I remember that happened a bit when HMV first, when one of their employees tweeted something about them being made redundant before the initial statement had been made. Of course, huge amount of rumpus. The company did delete the tweets, but again, the damage had been done.
Yeah, excellent advice. I'd also add some don'ts. Don't say no comment or enter into a debate or argument, and never speak off the record or say anything you wouldn't want in print or broadcast, and never assign blame.
Mm. And I think it is important to have one key contact. It could be the marketing manager who is overseeing the situation, as with any marketing communication. You need to be consistent with your message. Be available for the media. And if you can't discuss something, say why, or say you're going to come back on that point or something. And if you need to find out further information, explain the reason why you can't answer at the moment and say, as I said, you'll get back to them. And then make sure you do. Yeah. So it's worth mentioning here that the media will be looking for, a quote from somebody significant in the organisation. So make sure you know who that person's going to be. And more importantly, I suppose, make sure you know that, what that person knows what's expected of them, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we covered this on the PR course, actually. And most of the students, and they all came from different business backgrounds, they all felt that crisis PR wouldn't relate to them or that it wasn't, relevant to their businesses. But interestingly, by the end of the session, they were all really glad they knew what they would do in an emergency. And one student had an incident a few weeks later and said she felt really confident in knowing how to react. More importantly, her bosses were really impressed.
Yeah, good, excellent. So listeners, it's definitely worth thinking about putting together just a simple crisis PR policy, so you've got it covered.
So what are the key tasty morsels from this week's podcast, Nikki?
Okay, well, I would say that it pays to get to know your local media and to know what sort of stories they're looking for. If you can, make friends with your local reporters and put together that all-important media list or database for the possible contacts so that you know where they are, when you need to pitch a story.
Yeah, and I definitely say it's worth thinking about putting together a simple crisis PR policy just in case of emergencies and also for peace of mind.
Crikey, we've run out of time again already. So we're definitely going to have to revisit this subject again because I know there's a lot more to PR, in terms of sort of positioning your business, I suppose. So this just leaves us to say a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We're very glad you did. We hope some of what we've shared today resonates with you and gives you some great tips on your own public relations activity. And let us know, I suppose, if you get any stories published. That would be nice to hear.
Yeah, wouldn't it, just? Yeah. And don't forget to download the press release template from our website, themarketingmenu.com, to help get you started.
Excellent. So tune in again on Wednesday, the 12th of July, when we're going to be talking about the all-important subject. Oh, a nice one. I like it. Customer
Juicy.
Service. And until then, it's a goodbye from me, Nikki Matthews at Media Box Marketing. Till next time.
And me, Liz, from Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.